We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. But if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So today, as we start part six of Mistaken Identity, we're going to talk about how we are members. In 2006, a man named Guy Goma walked into a London office of the BBC for a job interview. And at the same time, the BBC was expecting a technology expert named Guy Kweni for a live television interview. A producer grabbed the wrong man. And Guy Goma thinks he's going to a job interview. He ends up rushed into a TV studio, and suddenly he's on live television as a supposed internet expert discussing a legal case involving Apple. I'm going to show you the video here in a second, and you're going to see quickly his surprise, right? He thought he was going to get interviewed for a job, and now he's on live TV. And he knew he was there by mistake, but being a good sport, he rolls with it the best that he can. And here's the video.
For the industry and the growth of music online. Well, Guy Kweni is the editor of the technology website News Wireless. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Were you surprised by this verdict today?
I'm very surprised to see this verdict to come on me, because I was not expecting that. When I came, they told me something else, and I'm coming. You got an interview there, so it's a big surprise anyway.
A big surprise.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. With regards to the cost that's involved, do you think now more people will be downloading online?
Actually, if you can go everywhere, you're gonna see a lot of people downloading to the internet and the website, everything they want.
A big hand for Guy Goma, right? He just rolled with it. I know I would have just been like, stop the interview. But let's not go any farther. But he's like, yeah, I've got an opinion on this this new thing. But you can quickly see his surprise. And problems of mistaken identity are common. And we have been talking about how culture and society are in a never-ending pursuit of finding ourselves and defining who we are. And we're tempted to put our identity in all kinds of temporary things. One day, you're going to retire, and one day your kids are going to move out of the house, and one day you're going to turn around and you're no longer young, and you're going to have low T, and you're not going to be as manly anymore, right? Or your beauty is going to fade, and that beauty that you put your identity in now is not there anymore. And you're no longer who you thought you were because you placed your identity in the wrong thing. And on top of what we do to ourselves, our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, would love to steal our identity in Christ, to tell us lies about who we are and what we're worth, and to use it against us in order to leave us confused and tired and weak. But the Bible tells us some amazing things about our identity, and it's not based on feeling. but based on the firm foundation of God's word. A.W. Pink says, the great mistake made by most of the Lord's people is hoping to discover in themselves that which is only found in Christ. And we've learned that in Christ there are some amazing things that are eternally true about us. If you are a follower of Jesus, these things are true and they will never change. You are free. You are made in God's image. You are a child of God. You are a saint. And you are abiding in Christ. Those are some big things, some strong foundations that you can build your life upon. Things that will last through every change in your life. And today we're going to see that in addition to all those things, we are part of something. We belong somewhere. And as a New Testament follower of Jesus, part of who you are meant to be is part of an ecclesia. Ecclesia is the Greek word from the Bible that we use today for church. Ecclesia is made up of two words, one meaning out of and the other to call. So the definition of church that we come to in English is a called out assembly of people. For example, Acts 11:26 says that Barnabas and Saul met with the church, the ecclesia, in Antioch. And in 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul talks about how before Christ, he had persecuted the ecclesia of God. And the called out assembly is a group of believers who have been called by God to be different from the world, to be salt and to be light. It's part of who you are. And here's what Paul told us and told the church in Ephesus about the people God was calling out to assemble in Ephesians 2:17. It says, and he, meaning Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were afar off and peace to those of you who were near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Jesus is building this new thing called the ecclesia, this new group of people made to love God and to love each other and to love their community, preaching peace and pulling people that are far away close, no longer strangers, but God's family. See, the church is not a social club, and we have amazing things that we do together, but the point is not just to have fun, it's to build something. The church is not a place that you pay your dues or put in your time and then reap the benefits. The church is a place to give of yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 tell us about what it means to be a church member. And in chapter 12 that Tiffany just read, it talks about how we're a body. Let's read this all together. It says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. It says Jew or Greek. That means ethnicity is not a factor here. Everyone welcomed into God's family. It says slave or free. Economics is not a factor here. All are welcomed into one body. See, biblical membership is not country club membership. It's not about perks. It's about connection. And biblical membership says that regardless of differences, we are all pieces of the ecclesia, members of a body. Members are different, and they make up a whole, but they work together. And if one member isn't functioning, the body suffers. Members of the body of Christ are part of who we are, our identity. So just a few verses later in chapter 13, it establishes that love should be the central attitude and action of every member. And you know this, mainly probably this 1 Corinthians 13 recited in weddings, which it is a beautiful picture of a groom and a bride, but its main the main way to interpret this is the groom being Christ and the body being the church and the bride being the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If a church, the body of Christ, does not have love, it's just making noise. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 13 says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Members are founded in love, and everything we do must be motivated by our love for God. Not love of praise, not love of prominence, not love of being recognized. Can you imagine a church full of people, of church members that lived out 1 Corinthians 13 together? Church members motivated by love to show patience, are kind, don't envy, not boastful, not conceited, not selfish, not easily provoked to anger. Don't keep a record of wrongs. Don't insist on having their own way. Not rude or arrogant. Could you imagine a church where every member was like that? That's the type of church that would change the world. And people would take notice if we acted on those characteristics. See, there's an epidemic of loneliness right now in our society. And the church is the answer to that problem. If it's lived out in the way that the Bible tells us to live it out. People would take notice if we acted out on those characteristics. And we're to show that love to other members that we don't like. The weird ones, right? The unlovable ones. Why? We're to love the unlovable because I'm not always lovable. We're to pray for our pastors even when they do things that we don't like. Why? Because we're connected. And we need to serve, even when we look around and say, well, this person should be serving, that person should be serving. That doesn't make us quit. That makes us double down and jump in. And we're called to invest our resources in the mission, not just let everyone else do it. Church membership is founded on unconditional love, the love of Christ, because he did so much for us. And the Bible tells us that Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And a church member is part of who we are meant to be in Christ. People in our world today have all kinds of weird ideas about the church. And sadly, they have a lot of bad examples of misguided churches and Christians that have hurt people. And partly because of this, people have believed some lies about the church and about following Jesus. One thing that is a common lie in our society today is people believe that their faith is personalized. Now, yes, your faith is personal, but it's not personalized. Sociologist Christian Smith studied the religious lives of American teens and young adults and found that people today think everyone is uniquely distinct from all others and deserves a faith that fits their singular self. Religion need not be practiced in and by a community. See, people today are tempted to believe that they can pick and choose and personalize their faith. A church of one, Phil Wayman Baptist Church, that's what they want. But a Christian's identity cannot be fully realized apart from the body of Christ, the called out assembly of the church. Think about it this way. When a child loses their tooth, it doesn't suddenly become its own independent thing. That tooth still belongs to somebody. That tooth will always be part of Phil's body. If my mom still saved my tooth from 50 years ago, no, I'm not that old, 35 years ago, whatever, that's still my tooth. And if you went and you put that tooth in your mouth, that wouldn't make it part of you, but it would make you super weird. But in the same way, we're never meant to exist spiritually on our own. We belong to Christ. And part of belonging to him means belonging to his church, what he loves. Christ is the head of the body, the church. And much of the New Testament is written directly to the church and assumes that as a Jesus follower, you are a part of a church and not your own personalized church. So that's one of the things that people believe today. Another thing is people believe that their personality differences mean they're not really church people. And knowing your personality tendencies is a wonderful thing. But that's all it is. It's who I tend to be. That doesn't mean it's who you're meant to be in Christ. And the excuse of saying I'm an introvert has stolen a lot of people's identity and stolen a community of people that need it greatly, leaving people lonely, scared, and unhappy. Because they, instead of deciding I'm going to be who I am meant to be in Christ, I'm going to instead just lean into who I tend to be. People have also believed the lie that I have community somewhere else outside the church, and that's enough. And that is wonderful, and it is needed. But unlike our self-chosen community, the local church is a community of people that God chose for us, for his glory and our good. Believing these lies have hurt people. How many Christians do you know that are just out there living their life apart from the church, and you know that they're struggling, and you know that they're not who they're meant to be? Another lie that we hear sometimes sounds good on the front, but it when you dig deeper in, it doesn't hold up. And you might hear people say, I'm focusing on my family, so I can't really be part of a church. And families are wonderful and foundational to who God made us to be. And God commands that a family be a priority. But for some, the church family is their only family. So it matters that you're here for them because you're part of their family. And we're blessed to go on vacations and take some time off. And no, it's not right to be legalistic about the church where if you miss once in 52 weeks, you're shunned. But as a follower of Jesus and a Christian, something is wrong with our priorities if you think it's better for your family to be consistently out on the lake instead of being part of a vibrant community of believers called the church. I'm focusing on my family, so I'm going to make sure they're right here as part of the church because I realize I need help. And I need other Christian examples to live out their faith in front of my children. So I'm going to make church a priority because of that. And I need my kids to be part of kids ministry and then youth group and church camp and young adults and life groups because I know that I don't want them to be alone, and I won't always be here. There will be a day where they have to live without me, and I want a church to come alongside them and to stand with them and to minister to them after I'm gone. So how do we live out being a biblical member of the ecclesia? Well, we talked about this a little bit ago with the fact that our God is generous. And he knows, our God knows that it is good for us to be generous too. And he literally tells us it's better to give than receive. And if you're a person that has a tendency to hold a grasp on all your stuff, to make it about you, you're not going to be as happy as God wanted you to be. It's God is a cheerful giver, and he wants us to be a cheerful giver too. So give abundantly and serve without hesitation, using our time and our talents and our treasures. No strings attached. Even if the church decides to paint the lobby gray and you wanted it to be brown or something. A good church member is like a good body member. It functions, and it has a purpose, and it fulfills a purpose. The phrase inactive church member, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. Members are meant to perform functions just like body members, and the Bible just told us that. Some of us are going to be smellers. I didn't say smell. Some of us smell. I said smellers. Some of us are going to be like the eyes, like the hands, like the feet, and we're all going to play a part, and we're called to be active. You have a role in the mission. And there are those in this room that are carrying more than they should be carrying because you're not carrying your load. And there are those that feel like they're ready to quit. And they're ready to back out, and they're burnt out because there are those of us in the room that are letting them carry more than their part. I found out just like a couple years ago that I have scoliosis in my back. And I got through the test. I cheated on the test in high school when they like make you bend over and they look at your back or something. But what, Mike liked that, yeah. He mainly is just making fun of me, that's all. But here's what you learn. And you know this from other parts of your body. If one part of your body is weak, the other part is going to hurt too. And if one of our body members isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, the other side is going to start hurting too. And we're going to get all out of alignment. And we're all meant to be active and to be part of this thing called the body of Christ. And maybe that means you become a greeter, or you help with children on Sunday morning, or you volunteer to serve the Clarksburg Mission, or help with Friends Feeding Friends. It also means that you live it out all the time, not just when the church schedules it, not just on a Sunday morning. There is nothing that makes me more excited than when I hear a group of church members come alongside people in our community on their own, and they just jump in and do the thing. It makes such a difference when people do it on their own time and organize it themselves, or they jump in and join an effort already going on in our community and just love people and live out the gospel. See, being a church member is and a part of a church is not just about where you go on Sunday mornings. It's about who you are. It's part of your identity. You're part of something. You belong somewhere. You have a purpose. And you might be tempted to say, well, all I do is show up ready to worship on Sunday morning and give and serve and pray for the church and attend a life group and check up on other church members. That's all I do. Surely that's not that important. That's super important. If you're doing all those things, you're hitting home runs, grand slams. You're doing an amazing job. That makes such a difference. Not only are you helping others and you're living your identity that is in Christ, part of his church. But in these walls is not where it ends. This is just the huddle. And we run the plays out there, doing good works and speaking the good words of Jesus. Our love for God and one another within this ecclesia should extend beyond the walls, transforming and flowing into a genuine love for our community. We're not here to build a kingdom of self. We're here to worship God and love people in our community towards Jesus. God has a purpose for you to live out. It's part of our identity. And Christ loves you. And Christ loves the people known as the local church. And he wants you to be part of a body of believers. And he wants you to perform functions to help and to participate, to contribute, to gather, grow, and give. The church is where the place where we come together as a body to serve Jesus and show the world that Jesus loves them. And the challenge from Scripture is for us to commit of giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, cheerfully and abundantly here and in the community, serving and ministering abundantly without hesitation. And that's a church member that says, I'm not going to make it about my ideas and preferences and opinions and desires. Instead, I'll be a functioning and unifying member of the people called the church. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And a church member is part of who we are in Christ. This assembly of people that we call the church is not a human invention. It's a God invention. And sure, there are many styles and ways to do it, but if you are a follower of Jesus, a church member is part of who you are meant to be. And that's about more than what we do at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. This is part of our identity. And it's messy sometimes. You're going to get mad sometimes. And we sin. And we hurt each other. But we strive to forgive each other. And sometimes we'll miss things in each other's lives. But we have to commit to get better. And we have to fight for it and not give up on each other. And sometimes it's hard to find our place. But don't be passive. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. Find a place to fit in. Come ready to worship on a Sunday. Introduce yourself to someone. Invite someone to coffee. Start something that we don't have in our church. Gather a group of people to pray or learn God's word together. Make phone calls to check on people. Bring a casserole when someone's sick. Visit a widow. Welcome the stranger. Find a person new to the faith and adopt them. Empty nesters, find a young couple to encourage. Someone that's just about to have a baby and they're scared to death. Wouldn't you have loved to have something like that, a resource? Men, find young men to get their phone number and text them and pray about what's going on in their life and encourage them. Women, find a young woman to be a blessing to and let her know she's not alone. This is what we're meant to do, to be there for each other. And if it doesn't work out at first, try again. Don't give up. Find your function. Find your place. Because it's part of who you are made to be. And many of us need to step up into this identity as part of the body of Christ. And maybe you're like Guy Gomer, right? And we talked about him in the beginning, and you're just kind of looking around, and you're confused, and you're like, who, me? I'm important here? Well, let's learn from Guy, and show up, and keep rolling with it, and bring what you can to the table, because it matters, and it's part of who you are. God gave us gifts, not for our own aims, but for his good, and you have things to offer, time, talent, and treasures that we can use to help further the mission of God, the mission that is performed through the church to reach the world. And we set out to do this motivated by our love for God and love for each other. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And a church member is part of who you are in Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the worship band comes. And as we head into this time of reflection and meditation, we think about what God has brought up in our hearts about how he wants us to react to his word. In August, Tori and I will be here 9 years. And over the course of that long, you see many people come and they get excited about the church. And then they take their eyes off of the mission. And then you see them in Walmart 3 years later and you're like, man, where have you been? It's because they didn't realize and they didn't remember that being a church member is part of who they are. And look, if someone goes and finds out that God wants them at a different church, that's amazing. That's awesome. But there's so many that just fall out. And as a pastor, that's a hard thing to watch. People that you love, because you know that it's better for them and it's who God made them to be. It's their purpose to step up into. And they're missing out on something because when it got hard, they gave up. And they got out of the habit. Or somebody said something sideways and they took it real personally and they held on to it. Or times got tough and they just disappeared. And you wish you could go as a pastor and knock on their door on a Sunday morning and pull them out of bed and get them in the car. But we don't want that to happen to you. Because God made you for something bigger. And if you know people like that, hey, an awesome and amazing thing to do is to hit them up. Ask them to go to coffee. Don't be judgmental and be weird and yell at them or something like that. But just let them know that they're missed. This is who God made us to be. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. And so that's what we do. We give ourselves, of ourselves, to make this thing go, to make a difference, to be a light in downtown Clarksburg, where people know that they can come and be accepted and find a home. But that also means we've got to do our part. We can't just sit back. We can't just let everybody else do the work. We've got to step up into it. Not to be recognized, not to get a pat on the back, but because we love Jesus, because he died on the cross for us. So we're going to love what he loves. And that's the challenge today is asking God, God, where do I fit in? Not what do I want, what are my preferences and opinions, but where do you want me to fit in? Maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. We talked about that a lot today. And you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You can't go back to a time and a place where you accepted Christ as your Savior. You put your faith in him and you called out to him to ask him to forgive you of your sins. If you can't go back to that time, you could do that today. Because that's the first step, becoming a child of God. The Bible calls it being born again, being saved. It's not any amount of good works that you do. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. And you could call out to him today. The words aren't important. It's about your cry to God from your heart. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. See, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also tells us that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died in our place, God in the flesh. That was his mission, to come and walk among us. And he did miracles and he taught amazing lessons. And then he walked up a hill at Calvary and God allowed himself to be crucified. And then on the third day, he rose again from the grave. The only innocent person to ever live died for all of us guilty people. Jesus in my place. You could call out with that prayer or something similar. knowing that you're a sinner and that Jesus paid the price for your sin. Let's stand to our feet. The altar's open today. If you want someone to come and pray over you, no matter what it is, maybe a health issue, financial issue, or something that we talked about today, you come and your church family would love, the body of Christ would love to wrap its arms around you and pray over what you're going through.